this is kind of what ESPN wanted when they hired Rush Limbaugh, is to have this kind of controversy. So the more you hype this, the more you're playing into what they want you to do by hiring him.
It's been a very strange and very fun week here at Barcut Manor. We had a lot of show 14 ready to go, but then Thursday, the world changed. So we plan to take advantage of it. Welcome to Barcut Radio Show 14B. We hate to do the A and B and C and D thing to you, but by the time we get the production done, days have passed and we have to start over. It's hard to catch up. But we're going to have a good time today. We're going to do some things we haven't done before.
You folks know Rush Limbaugh. Have you heard about his problems lately, Rush Limbaugh? Well, he was on the ESPN pregame Sunday football NFL kickoff show, and he made some controversial remarks about Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb. And so now he's resigned his job. So he's out of a gig. And I'm thinking it's too bad. It's really too bad because Rush was looking, I think, so good after that queer makeover. He really...
Our top national story, you're hearing it. Rush Limbaugh is speaking out on his syndicated show about allegations that he's being investigated for illegally purchasing prescription drugs in Florida. He's also talking about his reasons for resigning from his self-described dream job at ESPN. The Limbaugh program continues right after this newscast.
AM station in Tulsa was so proud that the pig boy had been caught with a bunch of drugs and had made a big splash on the national headlines. Before the show came on, they were saying, oh, call all your friends, tell them the big Rush program's about to come on. Call your friends, email them, do whatever you can, tell them to listen in. This is the big show where Rush is going to talk all about his drug abuse.
Nothing's changed here, folks. Half my brain tied behind my back just to make it fair.
Hey, pig boy, you want to make it fair, open the phones.
And again, utilizing talent on loan from God.
But, Rush, are you sure your talent isn't dependent on hillbilly heroin?
So much of the email is about the ESPN situation.
Much of the mail is about ESPN, he says, but you know the vast majority is about his drug use, his illegal narcotics use, his felonious illegal narcotics use, buying street drugs from gangs, organized crime. That's what the pig boy stands for.
And I want to address that here. And I want to address some of the points that have been made and give you a little history of the whole timeline here. And give you a chance to react to this in the context of being fully informed.
But pig boy, if we heard what you said, why do we need to be fully informed to hear what you said? You said what you said. We heard it. What's to explain?
The thing that I think people misunderstand, there's a lot of the sports media today and others, well, ESPN should have known what they were getting when they hired them. Now, what is that?
Don't you just love the indignant knock on the table? What is that? Stupid idiot. Hey, pig, well, I'll tell you exactly what it is. The whole country knows that you're a racist son of a bitch. And when ESPN said we're going to hire a racist son of a bitch to come in on the games, everybody thought, well, why is ESPN hiring a racist son of a bitch? All he's going to do is make racist remarks. So why would they hire a racist son of a bitch to make racist remarks on a football game? And then when you did that, everybody said ESPN knew what they were getting, because they did.
You know, they knew what they were getting. What are they getting?
You make it too easy, Rush. They're getting a racist son of a bitch. They're getting you.
Apparently the answer is that there's a stock answer to this, if you listen to the people who are asking the question. And apparently the stock answer is they were getting somebody provocative.
Well, that's one way of putting it. I thought my way was a little more succinct.
I was provocative, but that's not the purpose. That's not what I sought to be. I'm one of those people. I don't have to try to be provocative. Somehow, it just happens.
There he goes again with that thump on the desk. I don't try to be a racist, I just am.
You know, it's an amazing thing, but it just happens.
Listen to Rush the Vulgar Pig Boy doing his Porky Pig impression.
But it just happens. Now it's an important point. This is tantamount to saying they hired somebody to be outrageous. That's what they knew what they were getting, business me, and I am not oriented toward outrageousness.
Pig boy, you are oriented towards unfairness, racism, picking on the little guy, being a bully, taking money from the scared old white men to defend them against the poor innocent little black kids.
And this comment that I made about McNabb and the Philadelphia sports media is not outrageous.
Maybe it wasn't outrageous in Nazi land, but as you can see in America, it was outrageous enough to get your Nazi ass fired.
It's only outrageous because some of the people who heard it have a speech code. And they have vowed they're not going to be forced to listen to that sort of stuff. And if they ever hear it, they're going to categorize it as something that is extreme or uncouth. But it wasn't outrageous. It was a total mainstream comment that you're free to agree with or disagree. They didn't want to take it on, didn't want to discuss it with me. They just wanted me to get out of the picture because of whatever effect the comment had on them.
I think what Rush is saying is his crowd liked it, but those uppity niggers didn't like it. And how's a man like Rush supposed to make some money if the uppity niggers aren't willing to bow down to him and accept what he says as gospel? What's wrong with those stupid niggers? Why don't they just wise up?
Anybody can be provocative. Anybody can be outrageous. It takes no talent and no skill to do that.
Rush, I agree it takes no talent to be outrageous and get into a bunch of race baiting in front of a microphone. But don't sell yourself short. You are the best I have ever seen at it. O'Reilly and Hannity and Savage and others, they are no Rush Limbaugh. You are the champion race baiter of all time. Well, maybe since in my lifetime, since, say, the mid-60s until the mid-2000s, Rush is the king of all race baiting. You are the master, Rush. You wear the crown.
My first real talk show job in Sacramento, the best advice I've ever been given. They said, yeah, we look for controversy here. This was at KFBK. And we'll back you to the hilt if you mean what you say. But if you're just going to go on the radio and say things to make people mad, if you're going to go on there, be outrageous for the sake of it. If you're going to go on the air just to say things that you don't even believe, you're just trying to tweak people. We're not going to support that.
Rush, we believe that you are a race-baiting Nazi. Maybe that radio station in San Francisco did, too. Maybe ESPN did. We know KABC does. We know the affiliates that run your show do. We believe in you, Rush. We hear you 3 hours a day screaming at the stupid niggers. We hear you 3 hours a day for 10, 15 years, Rush. We know what's in your heart. We know what's in your mind. We know you very, very well, Rush. We know that you stand behind your words. We know you are sincere.
I have no desire to say things I don't mean. I never have had, and I did not want to start now.
But Rush, where do you get the impression that we don't think you mean those hateful things you say? Of course we know you mean it. You mean every damn word you say, every hateful, spiteful, racist comment that comes out of your mouth, we know is sincere, so you can stop telling us now.
My point is to say things I believe, to bring my perspective. They brought me in for my perspective and my fandom of the league, not because I am some outrageous polarizing figure.
Of course you're an outrageous polarizing figure. The reason you were brought in ESPN is because half of America, almost, is a racist country. And they wanted to pull in some of your audience. They want to pull in some of those redneck KKK southern types that listen to you, Rush. It will increase their bottom line. And if they want to sell more Coca-Cola or more Goodyear tires or more Gillette shaving cream, they can do it. They can sell it to the Nazis like the BFEE. They don't mind making a little money doing some business with the Nazis. So just accept it, Rush.
This particular challenge involving Donovan McNabb and the Philadelphia sports media, there was an underlying theme to this challenge, and it was media bias in the sports media. Nobody ever talks about that but me, but it's plain as day that it's there. There is just as much left-wing media bias in the sports media as there is in the mainstream news media.
But Rush, if you had only stuck to football, but no, you had to get right into race. That's your specialty, isn't it, Rush? That's how you made all your money. I guess you figured since you made the $300 million race baiting on the radio that you can make another $300 million race baiting on the TV. But it didn't work, Rush. You screwed up. You lost everything. You showed your ass on national TV. You proved to the nation you were a Nazi racist whore, and now you got fired. You have to live with that, Rush. You have to live with the fact that you finally had your dream come true, and you had to let racism push your dream out the damn window, and it crashed about 40 stories below, and it's not coming back, Rush. Get used to it. You fucked up.
And I was simply making that opinion known. Now, people don't like it, don't agree with it. Fine, talk to me about it and tell me I'm full of it or what have you.
Okay, Rush, I'll do that. You're full of it. You're full of shit. You're full of Nazi hate. You're full of division. You're full of everything that ABC and ESPN doesn't need on their football broadcast. Feel better?
By the way, as I mentioned, there's a column that ran on Slate, and I've posted it on the website, too, that actually backs up every point that I made.
Well, check out the Big Brain on Rush. When he was done with his Nazi diatribe and got fired on national TV, he had his people scour the internet to find somebody somewhere that would agree with him. And if you scour the internet long enough, you will find someone that agrees with you no matter what you believe. So yes, Rush was successful. He found a guy who said, Rush, you're right. Congratulations, big boy.
We've got a new rule called the Rooney Rule, which is designed to interview black assistant head coaches and get them jobs. By the way, nobody said anything about my essay on that 3 weeks ago, which I came out and sympathetically defended black coaches with this rule and hoped that they wouldn't end up being used as pawns.
Oh, please. Rush, the vulgar race-baiting pig boy, is going to come to the aid of the black man because it's not fair the way the black man's being treated. So Rush is going to show up and fix things? Jesus Christ, who the hell believes that, Rush? What kind of idiot are you?
You know, nobody cited that, as they wanted to say that I had introduced race into this picture in a negative way. And nobody cited the fact that Tom Jackson and Michael Irvin did not react on the spot. Nobody reacted on the spot when I said what I said last Sunday.
Well, guess what, Rush? Michael Irvin says you're lying. Irvin said, quote, Tommy first responded with comments about football, Irvin said. The premise of our show is football, and I've heard Rush himself say, keep it to football, no politics. So when Rush did make those comments, we kept it to football. I didn't know what he was saying was out of bounds. I'm a rookie, Irvin says. We didn't have much time after that to say anything. The segment is timed down to the second, and the producers were saying in my ear, wrap it up, wrap it up. So, Rush, according to Michael Irvin, there was no time for them to say everything. It was timed down to the second, and you closed the segment with that, and he had no chance to jump in there as a rookie and say, hey, excuse me, hold on, hold on. So for you to try to use Irvin's silence as tacit approval of your Nazi race-baiting comments is just another excuse. It's just another way for Rush to weasel out from what he said, trying to have others speak for him that don't want to speak for him. Michael Irvin speaking for you is like a chicken speaking for Colonel Sanders, you race-baiting bastard.
I have a fine relationship with both of those men, Michael Irvin and Tom Jackson. I consider both of them to have become friends.
Nazi, please. Don't give us that, oh, I'm friends with the black man bullshit. I'm surprised Irvin didn't stand up and just pop you on top of your head, give you a big-ass pot knot right on top of your head, maybe an uppercut, knock a few of them expensive caps out of your mouth.
I've discussed life with both of them. I've discussed things that might happen in the future. We've sat down and discussed those things that new friends discussed, you know, finding areas of commonality.
Rush, I think you might have me on this one. It goes without saying that if you spoke with a black man without saying, up yours, nigger, you probably are truly, truly a patron. You're probably just exactly what Martin Luther King had in mind when he said, let's all join hands.
There hasn't been 1 ounce of friction between me and anybody else on this staff. Yet that didn't show up. It was just assumed that I'm, whatever I am, conservative, and so whatever I say is automatically going to offend certain people of a certain race, and none of this is true.
Well, none of it is true except for the fact that we all heard you say it, and then after we all heard you say it, your boss fired you for saying it. But besides those two things, none of it's true, right, Rush?
Thank you. Warmed up a little bit today, wasn't it? I tell you, I was sweating like Rush Limbaugh at the Apollo Theater. That's how hot. Well, that's the big story. Rush Limbaugh has resigned from ESPN as a football commentator over racially insensitive remarks he made about quarterback Donovan McNabb. At first, he said he wouldn't back down, and then he quit. See, Cubs manager Dusty Baker was right. These white guys, they can't take the heat. You see what I'm saying? They can't take the heat. Well, to hear Russ's excuse, he now says he was so high on painkillers, he didn't know what he was saying. That's just what he was. Well, that's the other big story with Limbaugh now. He being accused of abusing large quantities of prescription drugs. He was turned in by a former housekeeper who said she supplied him for 4 years. 4 years. You know, if you're selling somebody drugs for 4 years, you're not the housekeeper. You're the drug dealer. What? You're the drug dealer.
What's that? I think I hear the BART phone ringing.
Let's impeach Bush. Look it up. Title 18, Crimes and Criminal Procedure, Part 1, Crimes, Chapter 19, Conspiracy. Section 371, conspiracy to commit offense or to defraud the United States. If two or more persons conspire either to commit any offense against the United States or to defraud the United States or any agency thereof in any manner or for any purpose, and one or more of such persons do any act to effect the object of the conspiracy, each shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 5 years or both. I would submit that George Bush, Cheney, Wolfowitz, Powell, Rummy, et al. Are guilty of conspiring to defraud the United States as per recent actions against the sovereign state of Iraq. U.S. Code, Title 18, Part 1, Chapter 19. Check it out.
As you might guess, I'm all for impeaching that unelected little pervert. He's done nothing but bring death and destruction to America. He's been the worst president, not only in our lifetimes, but I think a pretty good case could be made for in all of history. Nobody has ever taken the surplus like he has and thrown it into the deficit. Nobody's ever taken the peace and goodwill we had and turned us into the biggest monster the world's ever known. Like Clinton said in 92, everything that should be up is down, and everything that should be down is up. He's just like his daddy, that Bush boy. He has just screwed up everything he's touched. He's reversed the Clinton miracle back to nothing. He's regained the Reagan-era status, and that's error, E-R-R-O-R. So, yeah, let's impeach him. I'll sign them damn papers myself.
Hey, Bart, this is Matt. You know, the economy tanked. You know, they said it was because it was an Internet-based economy. Yes and no. That is pretty true, especially when you begin to think about it. In old Dick Cheney's energy plan with Ken Lay, they screwed the hell out of California. Where were all the dot-coms? In California. Can you imagine being a little dot-com with a $1,500 a month power bill all of a sudden going to $15,000 to $20,000 to $30,000 a month? They had it dialed in, and nobody has said one word about the power crisis in California screwing the dot-coms. Worth researching, my man. Keep growing that hammer bigger. Keep swinging. Keep kicking ass. We love you, Bart.
Good point. And I have no idea why more people aren't talking about this. You know, my numbers are always suspect. But the way I remember it, they said California had a deficit of $32 billion, is the number I remember. Also remember that they said Enron and the crooked oil companies in league with Bush, Cheney, et al., overcharged California $36 billion for energy. So if you take away the Bush, Cheney, BFEE rape of California, they would have a $4 billion surplus. Is Gray Davis so stupid that he can't say that to the people? That took me 45 seconds to say. All the time Gray Davis has been speaking, all the speeches, all the minutes in front of a TV and radio microphones, he doesn't have 45 seconds to say this state would have a surplus if not for the Bush bastards. Why does nobody ever just speak the plain truth? They go off on these speeches that just go from, you know, Maine to San Diego, and they just go roam around every damn place in the world, except they just won't spend 45 seconds to tell the simple truth. And I assume what I'm saying is the truth. I read it somewhere. I know I don't have copies of California's audited books. But if the Bush rapes of California is the difference between Gray Davis having a $4 billion surplus or a $36 million deficit, why the hell doesn't he just say so? Is he that stupid? Why doesn't someone say that? Why didn't Arianna Huffington say that? Why doesn't Clinton and Clark, everybody's going out to California to help the son of a bitch, why didn't someone just say what the facts are? That if it had not been for Bush intervention and Enron, Bush and Enron, Kenny Boy, that whole cabal of sons of bitches, if it had not been for them, California would have had a surplus, and we wouldn't be talking about this today. Thank you very much. And he throws the microphone down and walks off. Hell, that would lead every, except for today, that would lead every nightly news broadcast. But no, nobody ever wants to just speak the clear damn truth. And it looks like Gray Davis is going to pay for it.
You know, let me put it this way. The heat didn't arrive until Tuesday when the Philadelphia print media had a count. There were at least four publications in Philadelphia that just went nuts over this. Some of them were just raving lunatics. I mean, you ought to read these stories and listen to how you and this audience are categorized and characterized.
Hey, pig boy, get something straight. Your audience didn't say anything offensive. Your audience couldn't say anything offensive. They don't have a microphone with an ESPN written across the side of it. Don't drag your audience into this. Besides being gullible fools and, yes, racist themselves, your audience didn't do any of this. Your audience supports you, and that's half a crime, but don't drag your audience into this. They didn't fuck this up. You fucked it up.
How I am characterized, I have a twisted view of America.
Well, that's the first time I've ever heard you admit it, Rush, but I'm glad you did. You know, admitting your mistake is the first step on the long road back. And if you admit that you're a pompous fool with a twisted view of America and a race-baiting Nazi, we might let you back in. Not.
They think I have a twisted view of America because I'm conservative. I don't even know how many of these guys that wrote these big pieces on Tuesday have even bothered to listen to this program.
Here we go with another Rush tried-and-true favorite. Anyone that doesn't agree with Rush must not have ever listened to his program. Well, guess what, Nazi? I've listened to you probably more than 95% of most Americans every day, maybe not so much the last 6-8 months, but every day for the last 10 years that I've been in an office from 1 to 4 Oklahoma K-Drag time. You've come on the radio, and I jot down little things. That's how I put my little website together. We start out Rush Limbaugh, Lion, Nazi, Whore, and then we expanded our horizons when we got sick of you. But the idea that anyone that disagrees with you must be a stranger is horseshit. I've listened to you, and you're full of crap, and I'm calling you on it right now. One other thing. He sort of mentioned it, but he starts whining about the Philadelphia writers that must be the ultra-leftist liberal elite. And one of the people he screams at is this guy. I don't know how to say his name. It's Joe Saraceno, probably. He's a columnist for USA Today. And he said, I've been reading this guy for probably, I don't know how long he's been with him, maybe 10 years or so. I read this guy's column all the time in the sports page. But you know, it's funny. I don't know this Joe Saraceno's politics because he doesn't bring race into football. He doesn't bring race into sports when he writes. Get it, Rush? He's still got a job. You get that, Rush? Anyway, what this Joe Saraceno says is, answering the vulgar pig boy's charge, quote, many sports writers I know are to the right of Ann Coulter. It's rather dubious for Limbaugh to say we've overrated McNabb so we can validate our claims that blacks were denied equal opportunity for decades, which, of course, in fact, is not mere assertion. So where's the logic in Rush's preconceived notions? Rush wants to think anyone that doesn't agree with him is on the left fringe, but the truth is Rush is on the right fringe and Adolf Hitler's to his left.
About Donovan McNabb of the Philadelphia Eagles. And yesterday it was announced that he's being investigated for allegedly buying thousands of addictive painkillers from a black market drug ring. this does not sound like Rush Limbaugh, does it? All right, here we go. The category, top 10 things on Rush Limbaugh's to-do list. Number 10, apologize for racist remarks by explaining he was high on illegal painkillers. Number 9. Pat down family and friends to see who's wearing a wire. Number 8, announces candidacy for governor of California. Number 7, end pill addiction, get back to sandwich addiction. Number 6, search desperately for some way to blame the Clintons. Number 5, make moves on soon-to-be single Halle Berry. Number 4, tell Donovan McNabb derogatory remarks were part of new season of Punk'd. Number 3, brunch with Robert Downey Jr. Number 2, dinner with Trent Lott, and the number one item on Rush Limbaugh's to-do list, check job listing for pompous blowhard. There you are.
At first, ESPN, the management there, is fabulous. They are vigorously defending me, and they put out this statement that says this is being misunderstood, and no racial intent here at all, which there wasn't.
Nazi, please, that's how you got your job. You got those $300 million and your 20 million listeners spread over a week, not a day, you liar, because you're a race-baiting pig boy, and they love that. The racist people in America love to hear their racism reinforced, so they turn on the EIB every weekday to be told again and again it's okay to hate the niggers and the faggots. That's why Rush is rich.
And then it started going downhill. Behind the scenes, something was happening. And that is Tommy Jackson, who I love. And Michael Irvin is working extremely hard at being as good as he can get on this program, as good as he can be, and he's succeeding at it. Steve Young, Chris Berman, these guys are just the best at what they do. And they welcomed me to this show, and they didn't have any question. They didn't have any problems at all.
That would lead me to one of two conclusions, Rush, if they had no problem with you or your show. That would be A, they have never heard your show, or B, they have so much money that they would rather sacrifice their race, their brothers, their cause to make more money. They got to have that tax cut. Michael Irvin, the poor guy. See, I don't know Michael's part of this, but I'm saying maybe he doesn't know Rush, or maybe he's got so much money he wants a tax cut and fuck the rest. I got mine. Let them get theirs. It's one of the two. We've seen Michael Irvin on the field, and he is one fiery son of a bitch. He has just got as much emotion and drive as anyone I've ever seen on the field, and I can't imagine he would just sit there and let the pig boy spew on like this. Maybe it's a money issue. Maybe he doesn't know you, Rush, but I'll bet it's one of the two.
When they didn't respond to me on this show on Sunday and the media firestorm hit, apparently I've been told that they started getting beaten up by their friends.
I would imagine that's true, and as has been previously explained, Michael Irvin said he had no chance to respond to you, pig boy. He said you closed out the segment, and he's the new guy with the producer screaming, wrap it up in his ear. He had no chance to respond to you. So as the show goes dark, his friends are sitting at home going, Mike, come back and pop that son of a bitch. Give him a good one upside the head. Oh, and Rush, if you're going to call Michael Irvin a liar, do me a favor and do it in person, would you, buddy?
Tom Jackson particularly was named to me as being unhappy, but Michael Irvin and others were apparently really getting hammered by their people for letting me get away with that.
Pig boy, get it through your fat, thick head. People were offended when you go after a guy because of his race. You couldn't stick the football. No, you had to go right to the race issue. A couple days ago, Joe Connison said the big surprise was that it took you 4 weeks to bubble over with your racism, you pig.
They didn't want to be cast in this role. I mean, they want to just do football.
Well, of course they just wanted to do football. What are you, stupid pig boy? I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt here. If you can produce some kind of evidence that the ESPN people told you to mix some politics into this, then we would give you a third of a pass. I mean, I can't give you the whole pass because you're a Nazi and you got to pay for that with the other two-thirds. But if they said, Rush, let's talk football, and then you brought race into this, you're a triple bastard. But if they said, Rush, why don't you bring in some of that Nazi hate you're famous for, and you did, and then they fired you for it, well, yeah, I'd give you a third of the benefit of the doubt, pig boy. So why don't you show us some proof? What a stupid thing to say. The others at the football program wanted to talk football, and I wanted to race bait some guy in Philadelphia. You idiot! What's wrong with you?
They don't want to mess with this other stuff. It's not what they do. They're not comfortable with it.
They don't want to mess with this other stuff. That's not what they do. They're not comfortable with it. Can you believe he said those words? The other three or four on the panel don't want to get in a bunch of nasty-ass race baiting. That's not what they do. They're not comfortable with it. They want to do football. But the vulgar pig boy wants to do the nasty-ass race baiting. Pig boy, you're much better at hanging yourself than I am. I'm a spectator here. All I'm doing is listening to you hang yourself, you idiot.
And let's face it, folks. I mean, every day of my existence on this program has been related to or shrouded in controversy. They haven't been and don't want to be.
Rush, maybe they should have put you in some hermetically sealed room. You could be some kind of Nazi bubble boy so your Nazism and racism wouldn't infect the others. That's probably what they should have done. Instead of giving you your own separate little table over there like the kids' table at the Thanksgiving dinner, they should have had you in a whole separate booth, kind of like Robin Quivers on the Howard Stern show, just so you wouldn't infect the others with your pessimism and your hatred for all the minorities in this country.
So it takes getting used to. I didn't first 2 or 3 years or even longer. It was tough for me, too. I said, why am I doing this? Nobody ever hated me before I started this. Now all I'm doing is telling people what I think, and half the people who hear me hate my guts.
Are you sure it's just half, Rush? I'm thinking it's more like, let's say there's 280 million Americans, and you have 4 million a day listen to you out of 4 out of 280 million, that's 1/70th. So that would be about 1.5%. Pig boy, you got an approval rating of 1.5%. That's a whole lot lower than Larry Flint had in the California primary. Just think, Rush, one day you might be as popular as Larry Flint running for governor.
And nobody ever thought I was all these horrible things before, but...
But, Rush, that's just because they didn't know you. Once they got to know you, the hatred came right away. It was very clear, very full, very fervent. All they had to do was get to know you a little bit, buddy. Then they hate you.
For welcome to the Daily Show, I am Jon Stewart. We were talking earlier, apparently Rush Limbaugh is a drug freak. And so we thought we'd mention it at the top of the show. Really have nothing else on it. Just thought we'd mention it at the top of the show. Rush Limbaugh's a drug freak. Apparently, he was able to lose the big fat part, but not the idiot part. Honestly, I don't think he's that much of a drug freak. I think he's his drug use has been overrated by a white media that really just wants, you know, to give a conservative the benefit of the drug doubt.
Hey, Bart, Lynn here. I just have to comment on the clip you played where Limbaugh rants about the SUV destruction at that Hummer dealership. And I think way more important to notice than the prejudicial comment about co-op housing dwellers being unemployed and on welfare was his rant, which revealed what I think is his most egregious disregard for the American justice system. He ranted, "Remember those fires in West Covina, California that destroyed the SUVs, the Hummers? A 25-year-old man was arrested Friday, Josh Canole. Canole's roommate said he was a peace activist who has protested the war in Iraq and the actions of the Bush administration. Peace activists, eh? Blowing up 20 or so Hummers, destroying them by fire. Well, Bart, I think the American judicial system still considers a suspect innocent until proven guilty in a court of law, don't they? And in fact, that suspect, Josh Canole, was released from custody. So on September 16th and 18th, the LA Times reported, and I'll quote here, "Since his arrest early Friday morning, Canole had insisted that authorities had the wrong man, an active anti-war protester and a resident of a solar-powered cooperative home where residents drive electric cars and grow their own vegetables. Canole said he participated in peaceful actions only and would never set fire to an auto dealership." In another article, I quote, "Canole, 25, an employee at a solar panel firm and an active anti-war protester, was released later Monday after authorities said they did not have enough evidence to charge him with last month's vandalism and arson fires that caused more than $1 million in damage." Well, Bart, it ain't over till it's over, but irrespective of who's guilty, maybe that Josh Canole has some cause for a defamation suit here. Thanks, Bart.
Lynn, excellent call. But it came in before Thursday, October 2nd, Russia's big legal day. Russia's got legal issues coming out the butt. So, yeah, one more piling on. That would be kind of fun to watch. He deserves it. Well, interesting little sidebar here. As I was mixing this for today's Thursday, October 2nd broadcast, at 11:34 Central Time, Arnold just apologized for grabbing the breasts and buttocks of a bunch of women over the last 20 years. He said, "I'm truly sorry for doing what I did wrong. I thought it was playful. It was a rocking movie set. And what I thought was playful then, it turns out now I was wrong. I apologize to the women of California." He's going to get away with it. They're going to like him because the people of California, they think it, the media and a lot of people in California think it'd be fun to have a movie star goof. The media is going to have a great story every couple of days about what the idiot did this time. I think that has a lot to do with why Bush got elected. A Gore presidency would have put the media to sleep, but they knew with this moron in there, he'd be screwing up something every day, and they'd have a bunch of fun stuff to write about, and we'd have all kinds of wars and recessions and bullshit that we'd have that would allow them to sell a bunch of newspapers. I think that Arnold's getting in on some of that himself.
Hi, Bart. My name is John Gorenfeld, and I just wrote a story for Salon I thought you might be interested in. It has to do with River Moon and actually unpleasant feelings about sex, as you're talking about today on Bart Coffin regarding Ronald Reagan, but this time it's from River Moon. It's federally funded. And anyway, check it out. Currently on Salon.com. And you will learn why sex is like spitting into a paper cup and drinking out of it. Well, you'll have to read it to understand that. Talk to you later.
That article is on the Thursday, October 2nd. Today is BartCoff.com. I'd like to read you a little bit of it because it's weird and kinky. Fed Moon on the Rise by John Gorenfeld, Salon.com. Last December, in his 3-day God and World Peace event, the Reverend Sun Myung Moon drew a
Notable slate of political figures and Senator Richard Lugar, Indiana, Representative Danny Davis, Illinois, and perhaps most notably James Towney, Director of White House Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives, who offered some respectful opening remarks to Moon's Unification Church faithful. Moon followed and called for all religions to come together in support of the Bush plan for faith-based initiatives. Coming from Moon, that made perfect sense because he already believes all religions should come together under him. Separation between religion and politics, he has observed on many occasions, is what Satan likes most. Oh, don't you love it when someone explains to you what Satan likes? His gospel, colon, Jesus failed because he never attained worldly power. Moon will succeed, he says, by purifying our sex-corrupted culture, and that includes cleaning up gays, quote, dung-eating dogs, as he calls them, unquote, and American women, quote, a line of prostitutes, close quote. Jews had better repent, too. Moon claims that the Holocaust was payback for the crucifixion of Christ. Through the principles of indemnity, Hitler killed 6 million Jews. His solution is a world theocracy that will enforce proper sexual habits in order to bring about heaven on earth. This Moon fella is a weird, weird sexual weirdo. That's me. That's not John Gornfeld. Here we go back to John. What sort of proper sexual habits, according to Moon, in order to restore blood purity? Oh, how Hitler-esque. Very specific practices are prescribed. So Moon's going to explain to you how to have sex with your wife. Here we go. Sex before marriage is out of the question. And when sexual consummation does happen, it must adhere to very specific instructions. Got your pencil? Got your paper? Here we go. First, a photograph of Moon must be nearby so everything occurs under the Reverend's watchful eye. It doesn't get more spooky than that, Bart says. After 2 nights of woman-on-top sex, the couple reverse positions, whereupon the man, according to Moon, restores dominion over Eve via the proper missionary position. Dominion over Eve. Sounds like an X-File. Then, according to the instructions attributed to the UC's American Blessed Family Department. What the hell is that? The UC's American Blessed Family Department. I don't want any part of that. Back to the story. After the act of love, both spouses should wipe. Both spouses should wipe their sexual areas with the holy handkerchief. Holy handkerchief, Batman! Referring to the church-supplied washcloth, dash, which must be kept individually labeled and should never be laundered or mixed up. So, you're a Moony. You got it right. Dear Reverend Moon, I would like 2 sexual handkerchiefs, please. Thank you. Oh, no, 2 holy handkerchiefs. Holy handkerchiefs, Batman! Because I'm going to do it to my wife tonight, and we need to wipe when we're done, and we don't ever wash it. Ooh! What, at the end of the year, you mail them back to the Reverend? God, and this is what the Bush family is tied into, or maybe tied up to. But could it get any more weird? The Bush family, the BFEE, Bush 41, Bush Monkey, they're all tied directly into this idiot, and he's explaining to you how to have sex with your... Do you think our current resident was conceived with a picture of Reverend Moon watching Poppy do it to George Washington? Ooh, and when they got done, they wiped with the holy handkerchief. Batman, oh, Jesus, this is weird. Anyway, I like to joke, as you know, but this is no laughing matter. The government is taking, at gunpoint, the government is taking our money to give to this bastard, this crazy Moon son of a bitch. Do we care? No. We need to chase after Clinton's cock. That's where the kinky sex is. Clinton had sex with almost nearly had sex with an intern. That's weird. But the idea that the Bush family wants to line Americans up under the watchful gaze of the Reverend Moon while we do each other and then wipe and then mail him our handkerchief? No. No, this is all spiraling way out of control. We'd be much, much better off with a normal president having a little tongue on the side rather than have this pious bastard up there, this monster that's invading other countries, have him up there telling us the best ways to have sex while the Reverend Moon watches. This is creepy. I vote no. Another story in today's USA Today, greatest newspaper in the world. Cough, cough. Front page, it says, Army Reserve fears troop exodus. Soldiers are stressed on year-long deployments. And they go on to tell the story about if these poor guys are going to have to stay over there a year, 2 years, 3 years, who knows how long. People are going to be so much more reluctant to sign up. And everybody understands that. It makes sense. But I'll tell you what hasn't been mentioned yet. these guys that have been over there for a year, 130 degrees, shot at, saw their best friend's head blown off, missing their families, missing their wife's embrace, missing the kids running around, screaming and helping in birthday parties and this and that, going to the park, going to roller skating, going to football, doing all the things a family does. Instead of all that, this poor bastard's, whatever, 25 years old, he's over in Baghdad getting shot at. And he's had that for a year. And after that long year, they offered him a chance to go home for 2 weeks. And now he's home for 2 weeks. Loves his wife, got your kids, maybe have a beer, maybe smoke them if you got them, watch a ball game on TV, feel the cool wind, the cool Wyoming wind in your hair. Feels real good. For 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, you got to get back on that plane, go back to Iraq, back to more of the same. Now, it makes me wonder what the desertion rate is going to be, and to half a degree, who can blame them? I mean, you know, sure, if Afghanistan and Iraq had landed on the in Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas, and were pushing westward, yeah. We could, there'd be no time for a break. We'd have every able man, woman, and child down in the Carolinas fighting the dreaded Hun. But no, we don't have that. This is just an oil takeover to make Bush richer. How many of these brave men are going to want to leave their families and the safety of their homes to go back to Iraq for what, another year? Another 2 years? That's got to be tough. I don't know how they do it. Will the wife ever see her husband again? Will the children have to grow up without a daddy because Bush wanted that oil and lied to get us there? I don't know. If you were on the jury, I mean, sure, if a guy deserts during wartime, he must go to prison or be shot or hung, whatever, I don't know the law. But technically that is the law, but can you blame a guy for deserting when he knows this is an unjust war for a moron that saw something he wanted? Daddy, daddy, I want that. Oh, okay, son, I'll go get it for you. That's how he grew up. Son of a bitch is 53 years old or something now, 55. He's never heard the word no. Well, I guess now he's hearing it for the first time, but if he were sitting on the jury and they had a guy on trial for desertion and he got on the witness stand and said, I love my wife. I love my kids. I had a small business in Gillette, Wyoming, and things were really nice. And I fell for the Army's trick. They offered us to steal a... What is it, 2 weekends a year? Two weeks a year and 1 weekend a month? Yeah, that helped pay for my education. But now I owe him this money. Now we got a nutto president who fabricated a bunch of false reasons to go to war, and now we're stuck over there. I don't want to be stuck in Iraq. I want to be stuck in Gillette, Wyoming with my beautiful wife and my 2.3 kids and the damn dog and my Corvette. Sure, that's the life I'd like to live. That's the life I had under Clinton. And then this monkey stole his way into power, saw something he wanted, went and stole it too. And he's asking me to back him up. It's like being in a bar. I've mentioned this before. You ever been in a bar with a guy? I swear to God, this happened to me a bunch of times. And I'm not a fighter, at least other than verbally. But I'm in a bar and someone says, hey, this son of a bitch next to me, give me some shit. You got my back? And I'm going, no, I ain't got your damn back. What, you start throwing chairs, you want me to jump in the middle of that? That guy pulls a knife, you want me to do what? Go to my car, get my gun, shoot him? I just soon watch the band and finish my drink. That's exactly what this is. Bush looks at America and says, you got my back? And he doesn't charge into war, he asks you to charge into war for him. He's going to sit in the car in the parking lot and ask you to join the fray inside the bar. This is all fucking backwards. This is stupid. Someone needs to do something. Are we ever going to get out of this mess? But in closing, if you're on the jury and they charge this guy with desertion because he just wanted what he had before Smirk lusted after someone else's oil, how would you vote?
Hi, Bart. It's me, Joel, from Toledo. I've been thinking a lot about what you said towards the end of the latest about him giving up the power and all that. Well, here's the first big test, buddy. The CIA shit and that stuff roll pulled. Oh, that gave me the creep, boy, I tell you. But I think you're right, man. Oh, man.
By now I've had enough. I've sent you 3 email messages, and I've not received a password in order to access your radio. I think that's enough, then. Thanks, bud.
I'm certainly not going to beat up anybody who has been a contributor and sent money and helped keep the website going. But I must say, it's my best guess that we've had a special section on the page for at least 60 days, saying that if you're having trouble getting in, contact Sam. This person contacted Sam once a couple of days ago, and we got back to him immediately. If you send something to the regular BarCop at BarCop.com mailbox, it has a very good chance of being overlooked. It's a busy place. That's why we set up the special section for people who can't get in the radio. The very last thing in the world we want to do is to accept your money and then deny you the radio, the members section. That's not why we're here. You other frustrated people who are trying to get our attention, if you would contact Sam at the special Contact Sam section of every page since maybe midsummer, we will certainly get you in immediately. We want you to be a member.
Hey, Bob, this is that lousy rat bastard up in Chaska, Minnesota. Long-time listener, long-time contributor, got an idea for you. Since those neocon bastards are charging our soldiers $8.50 for their meals when they're recovering, is there some kind of fund we could either set up or one that's already set up that we could contribute to where we could pay for the soldiers so that they don't have to get a bill when they get home after serving their country, even though the government screwed them over? I'm tired of the soldiers paying the cost and the rich people getting the money. Let me know what you think. Talk to you later. Bye.
As many of you know, I am permanently and forever out of the fundraising business, fundraising for others, because that can often take unexpected turns. But I would certainly post a link to help the boys who are having to pay for their meals as they recover without their foot, without their leg. Sure, I'll post a link for that. I'll do what I can to help, but I don't want to touch anybody's money. There is severe danger in that.
Hey, Bart. Love the site. Read it every single day. I'm poor, or I would join. I want to let you know I've been hearing a new garbage song called I Want to Be a Kennedy. It's really kick-ass. And she's talking about wanting to be high class and stuff. Really great song. Thanks so much, Bart. You do great work, and we're going to win in 2004. Wesley Clark is the man. Thanks.
I'm surprised at how difficult it's been for me to get hold of a lot of these garbage songs. Garbage only has 3 albums out, but they probably have 80 songs circulating, and I just can't grab hold of some of these. Sometimes I get on that garbage alt news group, whatever, and tell them, I'm willing to pay for these obscure garbage songs. Please contact me, but I don't know. Maybe I just have the wrong approach. But I sure would like to get hold of some of those. And it'd be, sure, it'd be great if Napster was here. Then I could just steal them, but I'm willing to pay for them. But through the arcane machinations of the record companies, they just don't release singles or these stray songs. All the kids have them, but old people like me don't have an outlet for that.
Hi, Gene Gaudette, New York. Well, 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 L. Rushbo the Pill Popper. My God, he's hooked on hillbilly heroin. Can't wait to see what your page says today. Bye-bye.
Well, that's my good friend Gene over at Ampol, now known as APJ.us. I met Gene in Washington at our big fest there. Good to hear from you, dude. Yes, we're doing all we can to pile on the vulgar pig boy. We will continue to do that. Thanks.
You know, you learn that there's a price to pay.
Pig boy, you going to cry for us? You going to cry for us, pig boy? Oh, it's so sad. Everybody hates my Nazi ass. Oh, it's so sad. Oh, it's so terrible. Tell you what, Rush, if you would just break down bawling on your show, a whole shitload of 30 minutes of boo-hoo-hoo, woe is me, I'll go $1,000 to any charity you want. I would love to hear it. Rush, are you having a bad week? Is that what this is about? The whole nation has branded you a Nazi slut? And you got fired, and on top of that, you got arrested.
Not arrested, exposed.
For illegal narcotics, probably trafficking in illegal narcotics. You know what kind of life you're going to have in prison, Rush? You know how many brothers are in prison, Rush? You know how bad it's going to be in prison, Rush? They're going to pass you around like they passed around Paula Jones down in Arkansas. It's going to be awful, Rush. Hey, Rush, I got a little tip for you. You ready for a little tip? After you're sentenced, tell them you need one day off. Use your power, use your money, use your connections. You've got to have one day off. What you need to do, Rush, go to your dentist and have your front teeth removed. Trust me on this. You would rather have your dentist remove them than your cellmate Bubba using the iron bars on the door of your cell. Trust me on this, buddy. I'm looking out for you. Rush, in prison, you're going to be more popular than Britney Spears. You're going to be the Britney Spears of cell block D, Rush. Trust me. They know you're coming. They're waiting for you. The hootin's going to start the second you show your fat ass in prison. You better get them teeth removed, or they're going to do it for you. Squeal like a piggy. Squeal like a piggy. Oh, I'm going to love to see it, Rush. Rush, can I come visit you in prison, huh? Can I, Rush? Can I, huh?